said by some of the Salaf or some of the early Muslims, the scholars are like the stars in the sky. If they were to disappear, the people would be misguided. And due to their death, the earth becomes destroyed and corrupt. As Ibn Hajar mentioned, that the people will go astray and fornication will become widespread and alcohol will be consumed due to knowledge being lifted. This narration that the Shaykh mentioned, Ibn Hajar explains it by saying, knowledge being lifted, meaning the death of the scholars. So at the death of the true scholars, innovations will no longer be warned against. Evil will no longer be warned against. And as a result of that, innovations will become widespread and shirk will become widespread, and then the earth will become destroyed. And as some of the scholars, the Shaykh says, possibly Ibn Uthaymeen said that it's not sufficient for people just to gather books. Rather, a person must seek knowledge from the scholars, not by just acquiring books and gathering books and restricting himself to his books. Rather, a person has to seek knowledge from the scholars, as Ibn Uthaymeen, or as the Shaykh mentioned, an example that people of a particular place had many books that they were gathering, and a visitor came amongst them who had some doubts and confusions. He stood in front of them and he gave them a portion of his doubts. He mentioned his doubts and confusions to them, and none of them were able to refute that doubt. Rather, they all looked at the books, knowing that the refutation, the reply to what he's saying is in those books, but none of them were able to actually reply to that person. So as it was said, do not take knowledge from a sahafi from a mushafi, a sahafi being a journalist, a mushafi being a person who restricts his knowledge to the books, not seeking knowledge from the scholars. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that that knowledge
لا يقبض العلم إلا انتزاع عن انتزاع عقول العباد ولكن يقبض قبض العلماء.
And as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that Allah سبحانه وتعالى will not remove knowledge from this earth by snatching it from the chests of people, rather this will be from by the death of the scholars.
Not by حرق الكتب. ليس بحرق الكتب.
نعم. So knowledge is not lost by burning books and removing books. Rather, if there was a scholar in that gathering that the Shaykh described earlier, sitting without any books, he would be able to refute the doubt and the confusion that was spread by that particular or any particular individual. And it was said by some of the Sahaba, من الذي قال الشيخ كيف نضل والكتاب بين أيدينا؟
كيف نضل وكتاب الله بين أيدينا؟ فقال لقد كنت أظنك من أفقه المدينة. ألم تظل اليهود كتاب الله بين أيديهم وكتاب الله التوراة بين أيديهم؟ لأنهم اتبعوا الهوى. فكذلك من هؤلاء القصاص ومن ينتسب العلم يظل وبين يديه الكتاب والسنة إذا اتبع الهوى عياذا بالله.
من القائل شيخ
الله؟ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما قال لزياد أو
one of the Sahaba, he said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, how would we go astray and the book of the Allah is amongst us? So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, I thought that you were from the most knowledgeable of the people of Medina. Didn't the Jews go astray when the book was amongst them? And the Shaykh adds now that didn't the storytellers and preachers go astray, whereas they had the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam available to them. So didn't the so look at the situation for quickly. The Shaykh mentions at the end of that, looking at the situation of Tunis and Egypt, these callers and these preachers that were not upon grounded knowledge, they looked around to see the needs or the wants of the people. What did the people expect them to say? And they answered their questions according to what they expected the people that wanted the answers. Like saying, for example, look at these pure souls, the likes of Muhammad Hassan, who the Sheikh mentioned. So the issue became one of seeking or fulfilling the needs of the people, or seeking fulfilling the wishes of the people, not one of mentioning the knowledge of Allah, the knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
قال الله تعالى ولتكن منكم أمة أمة يدعون للخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. هذا بيان من الرب سبحانه وتعالى بأنه يجب أن تكون طائفة من أمة محمد يأمرون بالمعروف أي ما أمر الله به سبحانه وتعالى من إقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وإقام التوحيد وإقام التوحيد، وأن هذا لا يتعارض مع الاعتصام بحبل الله كما تقول جماعة الإخوان المسلمين أننا ينجب علينا أن يجب علينا أن نتكتل ونترك الكلام في أهل الأهواء والبدع لأن هذا يفرقنا. نعم، ونترك أن ينكر بعضنا على بعض لأن هذا يشتتنا. فبين قد بين الله هنا سبحانه وتعالى في الآية هذه بقوله ولتكن منكم أمة بعد قوله ولا تفرقوا أن إنكار المنكر ما يفرق الناس. لو إنكار المنكر والرد على أهل الأهواء يفرق الناس ما يأتي الله سبحانه وتعالى بآيتين متابعتين ينقض تاليها أولها. معاذ الله، كيف يكون الاعتصام بحبل الله سبحانه وتعالى مانعا من إنكار المنكر والإنكار على أهل الأهواء قائلين أن لو أنكرنا المنكر على أهل الأهواء وأهل البدع ورددنا على أهل الشهوات والشبهات أو رددنا على أهل الشبهات نتفرق، فالله عز وجل بعدما أمر بالاعتصام وترك التفرق قال ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون. إذن الدعوة للأمر المعروف عن المنكر سبب للاجتماع ليس سبب للافتراق. نعم، لأن لو قلنا أنها سبب للافتراق عياذا بالله نكون قد خالفنا ربنا سبحانه وتعالى، فإننا ننسب حينئذ الآية التي بعدها لأنها تنقض الآية التي قبلها، لا تناقض بينهما. فالاعتصام بحبل الله وعدم الافتراق لا ينافي الأمر بالمعروف والمنكر، بل أن لو تركنا الناس على شهواتهم أو أهوائهم وما أنكرنا عليهم حصل التفرق، لكن لو أنكرنا عليهم أهواءهم وشهواتهم فإنهم سيرجعون بعد ذلك إلى المعصوم، إلى الحبل الله وهو دينه وكتابه وسنة نبيه، فيحصل الاتفاق بالأمر المعروف والنهي عن المنكر فلا تنافي بينهما. وهذا يدل أن الأمر المعروف أنه منكر فرض كفاية، لأنه قال ولتكن منكم ما قال كلكم، وأولئك هم المفلحون هم الفائزون. ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات. نعم، فهذا بيان أنه لا يجوز لأحد إذا جاءته البينات أن يخالفها ويتفرق عنها كما يفعل الإخوان المسلمين الآن، يحتجون بالخلاف في تمرير المحرمات. نعم، فإذا وجدوا أن العلماء اختلفوا مرروا ذلك الأمر وهو محرم بدعوى الاختلاف. قال ابن عبد البر لا يحتج بالخلاف إلا جاهل، فإذا جاءت البينات وتبين النص فلا يجوز الاحتجاج بالخلاف في ركوب ذلك المحرم وتمريره، لأنه هذا من التفرق عن الحق بعدما تبين. الاحتجاج بالخلاف لتمرير الأمر المحرم تفريق للناس عن دين رب الناس في معرفة ذلك المحرم والتزام تركه. فلا، إذا جاءتك البينة من الرب فلا تفترق عنها بدعوى أن المسألة خلافية، بل اتبع أمر الله ولا تكون أولئك. مثلا إذا عرفت أن الله سبحانه وتعالى حرم البدعة سواء كانت في الجهاد وحرم الجلوس، نعم، أو كانت في الأعياد كالمولد أو كانت في الدعوة إلى الله كعمل جماعة التبليغ، حرم الله البدعة بجميع أشكالها وحرم الله الجلوس مع أهل الأهواء، وحرم الله سبحانه وتعالى كتمان العلم بترك الرد على أهل الأهواء إذا قال المقتضي على الرد عليهم، فأخذ الميثاق على الذين أوتوا العلم ليبينه للناس، فإذا تكلم صاحب بدعة ونشرت بدعته بين الناس لابد أهل العلم أن يردوا عليه، هذا أمر الله كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى. فلو قلنا بعدما جاءتنا البينات نعم هذا سيفرق كلمتنا إذا أنكرنا على أهل الأهواء سنفترق فنكون حينئذ كالذين سمى الله تفرقوا عن الحق. إذا تفرقوا عن الحق ماذا يحصل لهم؟ الاختلاف، لأنه إذا افترق الرجل عن الحق صار يقول كل برأيه والآراء مختلفة فيحصل التفرق. فإذا هذا التفرق والاختلاف سببه ترك العمل بالبينات، فمن عمل بالبينات نعم حينئذ يجتمع هو وإخوانه على دين رب الأرض والسماوات، ومن لم يعمل بالبينات وتفرق عنها وفرق الناس حصل له الاختلاف والضعف. نعم، وأولئك حينئذ إذا فعلوا ذلك وتفرقوا عن الحق بعدما علموه لهم عذاب عظيم. ومن ذلك أن الله يفضحهم، تسود وجوههم يوم القيامة، هم أهل البدع يوم تسود وجوه. ومن خالفهم وأنكر عليهم وهم للسنة تبيض وجوههم، نعم يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه، تسود وجوه أهل البدع تبيض وجوه للسنة كما يروى عن ابن عباس. فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم قيل هم المنافقون، أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون. وأما الذين بيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله، رحمة الله الجنة، قال أنت رحمتي، نعم هم فيها خالدون. تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق، وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين سبحانه وتعالى. كلا والله، لما أمر الله عباده بالسنة سبحانه وتعالى فإنهم إذا عملوا بها رحموا وإذا تركوها ظلموا. فما أراد الله للناس أن يعملوا بحبله والسنة أن يظلمهم، ولكنهم أنفسهم يظلمون بتركها وسوء الظن بالله لما تركوا البينات واتبعوا غيرها من الأهواء والأدواء. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
And then the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And let there be amongst your group who call to good and command that which is good and forbid that which is evil, and those are the successful ones. It's an obligation, the Sheikh says. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ as an obligation. Let there be amongst you, meaning an obligation, that there should be amongst you those who command the establishment of Salah, the establishment of Tawheed, and there is no opposition or contradiction between this and the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should remain united. And it is not as the group, the Islamic Brotherhood or the Muslim Brotherhood, Ikhwan al-Muslimun, say that it is upon us to gather together and join our ranks and join our forces and forget our differences. Rather, by holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, by holding fast to the command of Allah, to the rope of Allah, to the religion of Allah, and by commanding good and forbidding evil, this is how unity comes about. How could it be opposite and different to that? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to hold fast to the rope of Allah and not to differ. So therefore, calling to the ordering of good, this brings about unity and doesn't bring about disunity. And if we were to believe that it brings about disunity, then we are claiming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contradicted himself in two verses immediately, one after the other. And this is not permissible to make this claim. Rather, if we were to forbid people from following their desires and following their opinions and falling into sins, this would bring about unity of Muslims, and it wouldn't bring about disunity. And this verse proves that this job is fard kifaya, an obligation upon a portion of the Muslims to do, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran in this verse, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أَمَنْ لَتْ there be amongst you those who do this. So this is fard kifaya, and those are the successful ones. And then Allah Ta'ala says in the following verse, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ, and do not be like those who differed and who split up and differed after the guidance was made clear to them. So therefore the Shaykh says, after the guidance has been made clear, it is not permissible to differ from it. And like, also the Shaykh mentions, like the Ikhwan al-Muslimun do, when they find that the scholars differ in a particular matter, they use that difference of opinion in favor in order to allow the impermissible matters to continue. And Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, Al-Hafidh Ibn Abdul Barr, said that none uses the difference of opinion of the scholars as a proof except an ignorant person. So, therefore, that showing the people the right path and commanding them towards good and clarifying to them with knowledge that which is halal, that which is haram, this does not split the people up, rather it unites the people and joins them. And then the Shaykh says that so a person should know those things which, from this knowledge and clarification, he should know those things which to avoid, those things which are innovations, innovations with regards to jihad, innovations with regards to celebrations, like celebrating the Prophet's birthday, innovations in da'wah, like the actions of Jama'at al-Tabligh, the way they innovated by sending out ignorant people to give da'wah, and the like. And you will also realize by this that it is impermissible to sit with the people of innovation and to be in their company, so that you may not be misguided. And it is wrong also, you realize, to hide knowledge and to not speak against innovations, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, with regards to the pact that He took from the people of knowledge, that تُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ, that you will clarify it to the people and you will not hide it. So this is a contract that they have with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the scholars, that they will clarify and mention that which they know to the people, and therefore it's not permissible for them to hide knowledge and hide what they know about the people of innovations and their errors and their innovations from the Muslims and from the people. And as for those who say that if we were to begin warning against people and commanding them and forbidding them, this would bring about difference, then this is in opposition to this to these texts. Rather, the reason why people fell into differences was because they didn't act upon that knowledge and that clarification which they had reached. And so differences become widespread as a result of leaving off those proofs, and weakness becomes widespread, not strength. So if a person continues upon this path, after clarification has been shown to them, then as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, they will be given the severe punishment, the severe torment. And then Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وَجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وَجُوهٌ, that day when some faces will become bright, will be brightened, and others will be blackened. As Ibn Abbas said, as narrated from him, that those people whose faces are blackened, these are the people of innovation. And it has been said that they are the munafiqun. And as for those people whose faces were brightened, they are the people of the sunnah. And then Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ أَسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ, and as for those people whose faces were blackened, have you disbelieved after your faith? So taste the punishment of that which you disbelieved. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ أَبْيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ, and as for those people whose faces were brightened, فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, they will be in the mercy of Allah, and the mercy of Allah is paradise, as Allah Ta'ala addressed it by saying, أَنْتِ رَحْمَتِي, you are my mercy. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they will remain therein forever. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ, these are the verses of Allah that we recite to you in truth. وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and Allah doesn't oppress any of His creation. And for sure, the Shaykh reiterates, this is beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to oppress and to do dhulm. Rather, the dhulm, the oppression, is for those people who oppress themselves. by leaving the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, by leaving off learning, seeking that knowledge and acting upon it, and leaving that off is oppression in the true sense, where they oppress themselves. Wallahu a'lam. Wassallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sallam.
كثير من الناس يسهرون في المجون، يسهرون فيما حرم الله سبحانه، وقد قال السلف: تفقه ساعة خير من قيام ليلة. فهنيئا لكم إطالة المجلس في دراسة القرآن ومعرفة ما يستنبط منه من الأحكام، وبخاصة مما أخل به أهل هذا الزمان من الانحراف عن المعاني التي أرادها الرحمن سبحانه وتعالى. ونبقى للأسئلة، فمن شاء يبقى معنا فالحمد لله، وإلا فقد انتهت المحاضرة. نعم.
The Sheikh says many, there are many people who spend the hours of their evenings and nights awake doing crazy things. Yet you have spent these hours of this night seeking knowledge of the religion of Islam. And it was said that seeking knowledge for an hour, it was said from by the people of knowledge, seeking knowledge for 1 hour is better than standing the whole night in prayer. So may you be given glad tidings for this sitting and this patience that you have shown in studying and learning these verses from the Quran, and the correct understanding of these verses, and how they show the incorrect path that has been taken by those who went astray in this time with regards to these types of verses that we recited. The Sheikh says that we will continue now and take some questions, yet the lecture has finished and whoever wants to leave, he is free to leave, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Brothers, if you decide to stay, then please stay patiently and in quiet silence. Jazakumullah khair for showing your patience up till now. Please continue to be patient, and if you would want to leave, you're free to do so. So please continue chatting and talking outside. شيخنا يكون لأحد الإخوة سأل اليوم هارون عليه الصلاة والسلام لما يقول أحد الدعاة أو أحد الأشخاص لا يجوز الحذر من الجماعات لأن هذا يسبب التفريق، فحتى هارون أراد ما أراد أن يفرق الجمع فذهب معهم، فإذا يجب علينا أن لا نفرق الجمع مثل ما فعل هارون. نأخذ سؤال شو؟
لا لا بس لا لا يطرح شو على الناس.
طيب جميل جدا. كيف أحسن عليك هذا فقط؟ أحسن عليك.
لأنه هارون يعني ماذا فعل موسى لما جاء أنكر؟
نعم أنكر عليه وأخذ برأسه ولحيته يجره إليه.
بس السؤال اللي يحتاجونه
من أخطأ في سورة الفاتحة هل صلاته صحيحة؟ عذاب من الفاتحة شيخ؟ The first question that the Sheikh is taking is what is the ruling regarding praying behind someone who makes a mistake in Surah Al-Fatiha? Is your salah correct? Sheikh na yaqul al-sa'il ma huwa hukm salat al-shakhs idha salla khalf rajul akhta'a fi Surah Al-Fatiha hal tasihhu salatuhu?
Naam, idha akhta'a ar-rajul muta'ammidan fi qira'ati Surah Al-Fatiha, naam, wa qad رجع فلم يرجع عياذا بالله فلا تصح صلاته، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بأم الكتاب. أما من كان في خلف هذا الإمام وسمعه يخطئ، نعم، فلم يستطع الرد عليه، فاته الأمر، حصل له ذهول أو رد عليه ولم يسمع مثلا لاعتقاد الإمام أو لأن الإمام لا يستطيع أن يقرأها إلا هكذا، نعم، فصلاته إن شاء الله صحيحة، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد قال: يصلون لكم فإن أخطأوا فلكم وعليهم، وإن أصابوا فلكم ولهم. فإذن إذا أخطأ الإمام في الفاتحة وهو قاصد عياذا بالله لذلك فصلاته باطلة ولا يجوز الصلاة خلفه. أما إذا كان هذا مقدرته كأن يكون عجمي ولم يستطع أن يقرأ الفاتحة إلا على هذا النحو نعم فينبغي أن يبعد على الإمامة، لكنه إذا ابتلي من خلفه بهذا وحاول يصلحه ولم يصلح لسانه فإنه إن شاء الله تكون صلاة من خلفه صحيحة.
The Sheikh says, as for if a person was to intend on purpose to make an error in Surah Al-Fatiha and he was corrected and rectified and he continued upon that that error, then his prayer is not correct. As for a person who made a mistake in Surah Al-Fatiha, the person tried to correct him in the Salah, but maybe the Imam didn't hear the correction or he wasn't able to make that correction, or the person behind him didn't realize or he forgot that the Imam made a mistake, or the Imam didn't hear the correction, all of these possibilities, or the Imam is not able to recite Fatiha better than that, then prayer behind him is correct. And this is due to the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Imam, when he prays, if he is correct, then you and him get the reward, and if he makes an error, then the error is upon him, and you still get your reward. Shaykhna, yes, al-Asari, Shaykhna, hal yajuz al-tabarru' bil-dam, ya Shaykh?
Al-tabarru' bil-dam, shay' وقع في زماننا ولم أسمع أي أحد من أهل العلم أنكره، لأنه لا يضر بالرجل أن يصنعه، لكن المحرم هو بيع الدم، فقد وجدنا في بعض المستشفيات أنهم يعطون في مقابل اللتر أو النصف لتر نعم 500 ريال، وهذا خطأ، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع الدم. نعم، فلا يجوز ذلك.
And the questioner asks, is it permissible, is it haram to donate blood? The Sheikh says that this is something which we found happening in this time of ours, and I never heard any of the scholars speaking against this action. And the reason for that is because it is harmless, it doesn't harm a person to donate blood. What is impermissible, however, is to sell your blood. And the Sheikh said, I found some hospitals, some places, announcing that they will pay an amount of money for half a litre of blood or 1 litre of blood. This is impermissible due to the prohibition from the Prophet ﷺ from selling blood. Rasulullah ﷺ forbade the selling of blood. كيف
دم كافر
هذا؟ So the brother asked, even if it was in this country, meaning donating blood in this country, the Sheikh says it's permissible. يكون تبرع لغير مسلم، هذا قصده يا شيخ. شيخنا، الحكم الصلاة في بيت فيها صور مثل المجلات أو الجرائد، هل يؤثر في الصلاة؟
على المسلم أن لا يصلي في مكان فيه صورة، لأن الصحابة امتنعوا عن دخول الكنائس من أجل الصور التي فيها، لكن لو صلى في هذا المكان لا تبطل صلاته. نعم، لا تبطل صلاته، لأنه صلى في مكان طاهر، وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جعلت لي الأرض مسجدا وطهورا، لأن النبي كان يصلي بجانب الأصنام التي كانت في مكة نعم صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكن عليه أن يسعى في إزالتها. نعم، وقد يأثم بأنه صلى في مكان فيه صورة، لكنه لا تبطل صلاته. نعم.
With regards to this question, is it permissible to pray or in a place where there are photographs or magazines that have pictures? Does that affect the prayer? The Sheikh says a person shouldn't pray in a place in which there are pictures. but and he may be sinful if he wasn't to remove those pictures from that place if he had the ability to do so. But what is important is that his prayer is not invalidated as long as he's the place that he prays is pure, as the Prophet ﷺ said that the earth has been made a praying place and a place of purification for me. And the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed, and close by him the mushrikun had idols. So a person should strive to remove those things, and he may be sinful if he had the ability to remove them and he didn't remove them. Yeah, he asked that question already. The Sheikh spoke about that. Earlier on, that same question came.
أنا قلت أنه إذا نقل على الهواء مباشرة نقلت الصورة على الهواء مباشرة فلا مانع لأنها مرآة مطورة كما قال علامة الألباني لكن إذا كانت صورة محفوظة فهذا الذي لا يجوز.
The brother was asking about some masjids that have television screens in some rooms in order for the people to see the position of the imam or to watch the khutbah. Is it permissible to pray in that place? The brother asked the question earlier on and the sheikh began the answer, but the adhan for Asr went and the translation didn't actually come out. The sheikh mentioned that he has written a book in this regard and he showed the impermissibility of scholars coming out onto TV screens in 20 ways, 20 reasons why it's impermissible to come onto video recordings. As for what the brother's asking about, then as some of the scholars have said that if it's live transmission, then this is closer to that which is to what is regarded like a reflection in a mirror, and in that case it doesn't affect the prayer, it's permissible, inshallah. هذا السؤال الشيخ ذكر بابا من كتاب التوحيد لإمام الدعوة أنه لا يذبح لله في مكان ذبح فيه لغير الله فهل يجوز على هذا الأساس أن نشتري مثلا كنيسة ونحوله مسجدا مع أنه ذلك المكان قد عبد فيه غير الله؟
لا بأس، لأن الصحابة كما قال ابن تيمية رحمه الله لم يمتنعوا من الدخول في الكنيسة والصلاة فيها إلا من أجل الصور. نعم، إلا من أجل الصور، فهذا هو عمل الصحابة وفهمهم، فعلينا أن نلتزم عمل وفهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم.
The questioner said that in كتاب التوحيد Imam Ahmad Wahab said that a person shouldn't slaughter in a place that people previously slaughtered for other than Allah. So is it permissible for Muslims to purchase a church and turn it into a masjid knowing that people that other than Allah was worshipped in that place? The Sheikh says it's permissible to do that for the Sahaba, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. Nothing prevented them from going into the churches and praying except the pictures that were present there. So upon their understanding and their actions, it's permissible to do so if the pictures were removed. Now you give me easy questions. Inshallah, قصص.
ما حكم من ترك صلاة الظهر والعصر لأنه كان
محاضرة؟ لا يجوز، يجب عليه أن يقطع المحاضرة ويخرج لصلاة الظهر، لأن الله عز وجل قال إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا، أي مؤقتا محددا، فلا يجوز التهاون في ترك الصلاة من أجل المحاضرات. إذا كان يسمع النداء وكان هناك مسجد قريب يجب عليه الخروج للجماعة، إذا كان لا يسمع النداء فله بعد انتهاء المحاضرة يصليها قبل خروج الوقت. نعم.
The questioner asked, is it permissible for a person to join Dhuhr and Asr prayer if he is in lessons in university, for example? The Sheikh says not permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed the time for prayer. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah has, the prayers have been commanded upon the believers to be prayed at fixed and stated times. So it's not permissible for a person, rather he leaves his lesson at that time. If he fears the time for the salah will depart, and he prays. Shaykhana?
أولا أحب أن أنبه على شيء. الإمام الذي تكلمنا عنه تبطل صلاته، الذي يخطئ ويلحن في الفاتحة لحنا جليا، كان يقول أنعمت عياذا بالله بالضمير الذي يدل على المتكلم، فهذا عياذا بالله قد غير الفاتحة، فلا تصح صلاته أبدا. وعلى من كان خلفه أن يصلح له لفظه إذا نطق بها بلحن جلي، أما إذا كان يتكلم بلحن ليس بجلي، لحن خفي، نعم، فإن هذا لم يغير من معاني الفاتحة، لا لم يتغير، يعني إذا لم يتغير معناها فإنها تصح الصلاة. لكن من كان خلفه لا يجب، لا يجوز له أن يسكت عنه مجاملة له إذا أخطأ في الفاتحة، فإذا سمعه يخطئ في الفاتحة يجب عليه أن يصيح به، أن يبين له اللفظ الصحيح. فإن كان أعجميا لا يستطيع أن يتقل بهذا وراجع أكثر من مرة ولا يستطيع فالحمد لله، أما إن كان يستطيع وعانت وشعر المكلف أنه عاند ونطق بغيرها فليترك الصلاة خلفه، نعم، فلأن صلاته لم تصح. نعم،
يخرج في عينها شيخ.
اي نعم، إذا كان أحس وغلب على ظنها أنه عاند، نعم، فإنه حينئذ يكون كمن تبين لك في الصلاة أنه جنب. كان يأتيك إنسان، زوجة إنسان، تقول هذا الذي يصلي بكم الآن وتعرف أن الزوجة صادقة، تراه جنب الآن يصلي وهو ناسي، فعرفت أنه جنب، لا يصلح أن تقلده، أن تبقى معه أنه باطل صلاته. فكذلك من تعمد الإخلال الفاتح وقد رددت عليه وعانت، فحينئذ لا تواصل الصلاة خلفه. نعم، لا، غير الفاتحة أسهل، لأن ابن أبو هريرة يقول صلاة الفاتحة، قراءة كل الفاتحة في الصلاة تجزيك، تجزي قراءة الفاتحة، أما غيرها فإنه لا نتكلم عنه، لأنه إيش؟ لأن الأصل يعني أنه تصح الصلاة فقط مع الفاتحة، ما سواها يكون مستحب.
The Sheikh goes back to the question about Surah Al-Fatiha and the mistake from the Imam in that Surah. The Sheikh says if the error of the recitation was something which was very clear and apparent, like for example changing the word an'amta to an'amtu, which changes the meaning that from upon whom your blessings lie and changing it to upon whom my blessings lie. Those who have studied some Arabic would know the difference of an'amta and an'amtu. So in this situation the person changed the meaning totally and his prayer is not correct until he changes this wording. And as for the people who are praying behind him, then it is an obligation upon them to correct and rectify the mistake of the imam, and not to remain silent just out of shyness or whatever that might be. Rather, it is upon them to correct the imam and to make sure that he recites it correctly. If the imam is a non-Arab and he is doing his best and he can't go beyond what he's done, then he's excused. But as for if the person feels that this imam, he's just being stubborn and he's not responding to your correction, then for this person you must abandon praying behind him until he rectifies. If you, for the most part of your thinking, believe that this person is being stubborn with regards to his rectification of fatiha, he's not correcting it, just like a person if he realized by someone telling him that the imam is not in a state of wudu, for example, he's in sexual defilement, and his wife informed the sisters of praying that he didn't do ghusl, he forgot, and they know that the wife is truthful, then they should abandon their salah for knowing now that the imam is not in a state of purification. Similarly, is the case over here, that if he, because as Abu Hurairah said, that the for a person's prayer to be correct, Surah Al-Fatiha, he has to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Shaykhna al-Qadha al-Salat al-Jahriya, هل تقضى جهرا؟
يقول الإمام أحمد إن شاء جهر بها وإن شاء أسر، إنه لم يحفظ سنة للمنفرد إيش يفعل الذي جاء في جاء الجهر في صلاة الجماعة كالعشاء والفجر، أما المنفرد إذا قضى لم يأتي فيه عند الإمام أحمد دليل خاص فوسع الأمر فقال إن شاء جهر وإن شاء أسر. وابن عمر لما قضى الصلاة كما في موطأ مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه صلاة المغرب جهر بالذي فاته لما انفرد عن الإمام وقام يقضي، نعم، فلك حينئذ أن تجهر إذا فاتتك صلاة العشاء أو صلاة الفجر أو صلاة المغرب إن كنت منفردا.
If a person misses a prayer in which usually the prayer is recited loud, the Fatiha is recited loud, then when you make up that prayer, should you recite the surahs loud? The Shaykh says Imam Ahmad said about this case that if a person misses a prayer in which the surahs are recited out loud, then if he wishes, he recites the surahs out loud, and if he wishes, he keeps it, he recites quietly to himself. For reciting out loud is done in jama'ah. As for if a person missed the jama'ah and he prayed on his own, then in that case, as Imam Ahmad said, he is at a choice to either recite loudly or quietly. And Ibn Umar, when he missed Salat al-Maghrib, as occurs in the Muwatta' of Imam Malik, and he prayed separately with some others, he recited loudly. So it is permissible for you to do this, all that, inshallah. Shaykhna, hal yajuz as-salah fi baytin bihi kalbun aswad?
أولا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من اقتنى كلبا إلا كلب صيد إلا كلب حرث أو ماشية أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم نقص من ثوابه كل يوم أو من حسناته كل يوم قيراط أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. تربية الكلاب محرمة لا تجوز، وخاصة الكلب الأسود فإن النبي أمر بقتله لأنه شيطان. كلب الأسود ذو النقطتين فوق عينيه البيضاء هذا شيطان يجب قتله، لكن لو صلى وهو موجود في المنزل فإنها تصح الصلاة لأن النبي مسك الشيطان في الصلاة، نعم، وقنقه حتى رأى برد يعني لعاب برد لعابه على يديه ولم يقطع صلاة نفسه، فكون الشيطان دخل إلى المسجد وأراد أن يقطع صلاة النبي والنبي يصلي حتى اقترب منه وأمسك به النبي وسال لعابه على يديه وقال لو شئت لربطته في أحد سوار المسجد فيصبح ولدان المدينة يلعبونها به، نعم، ولكن ذكر دعوة أخيه سليمان ربي هب لي ملكا لا ينبغي لأحد من بعدي فتركه صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا يدل على صحة الصلاة إذا وجد الكلب الأسود في المنزل.
The question is it permissible to pray in a house in which there is a black dog? The Sheikh says, first of all, it should be known that taking, having a dog, other than a dog which is for a guard dog, or a dog which is used for farming, or like a sheep dog, for example, or for hunting, then it's not permissible to keep dogs and to look after them, except in those cases that have been mentioned as occurs in the hadith. And as for having a black dog, then this is worse, as the Prophet ﷺ commanded that they should be killed. Yet the presence of a dog or a black dog in the house doesn't invalidate the salah. A person can pray, and the Prophet ﷺ continued praying when the shaitan entered the masjid and tried to cut his prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ said to the people the next day that the shaitan came and tried to break my prayer, and I took hold of him by his neck maybe, and such that his tongue or his saliva came onto I felt it on my hand. And And I thought of tying him to the pillar so that the children of Medina could play with him, and if it wasn't for the da'wah, the du'a of Sulaiman alayhi salam, I would have done so, which was...
لكن تنبيه يعني ليس هناك زيادة أنه كلب صيد إنما أذكر كلب الحرث والماشية.
The Sheikh says, just to clarify, he doesn't remember the narration speaking about hunting dogs, rather he speaks about what he knows is the الحرث. Sheikh, الحرث والماشية
يعني المزرعة والزراعة.
Dogs used out in the farming, like a shepherd's dog or a sheep dog.
نعم.
شيخنا المسافر إذا كان مقيما مثلا في المسجد مثل بعض الإخوة هنا فهل يجوز لهم أن يقصروا من صلواتهم ويجمعوا لأنفسهم أو هل يجب عليهم أن يصلوا الجماعة ومتى وسؤال آخر متعلق متى يبدأ السفر؟
يبدأ السفر إذا خرج الرجل من البنيان حتى يرجع بنية السفر أو بهيئة المسافر، لكن لو ذهب مثلا لبرنغهام يوقع معاملة ويرجع في نفس الوقت هذا لا يسمى مسافر، يتم هنا ويتم هناك، لأن مسألة السفر ترجع للعرف، فلو سأل أهل البيت أينه قال ذهب للعمل وسيرجع، ولا يقول سافر بحقيبة، لأن ابن قدامة لأن القرطبي نقل إجماع، قال وأجمع أن من سافر مسيرة أن من تبع الصيد 2000 ميل ليصيد غزالا فإنه لا يسمى مسافرا ولا يعني يجب عليه يعني أن يتم الصلاة. فهؤلاء الذين جاءوا الآن ويمكثون 2 أو 3 ومعهم حقائب وعليهم هيئة السفر فإنهم لهم أن يقصروا ويجمعوا، نعم، فذلك لهم رخصة والحمد لله، لكن لا يبقون في المكان الذي فيه الناس يصلونهم باقون، لا بد أن يصلوا معهم، وحينئذ نقول لهم صلوا مع الناس أحسن خير لكم، لأنكم إذا بقيتم على جنب الناس يصلون فقد خالفتم رسولكم صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإنه رأى ناس قد صلوا في سفر فقال ما لكم لا تصلون، قال صلينا في رحالنا، قال إذا جئتم الإمام يصلي فصلوا معهم. إذن المسألة تحصيل حاصل يخاف أن تكون كذلك، فصلوا معهم خير لكم. نعم.
Which opinion is correct? The Sheikh was asked this question. If people are traveling and staying in the masjid like some brothers over here, then is it permissible for them to shorten their prayers and to join their combine their prayers, or must they pray in jama'ah? And the second question was also, when does a person's journey begin? As for the beginning of the journey, the Sheikh says, it starts when a person leaves his town with the intention of traveling and behaving like a traveler, meaning that he has his bags prepared in order to go on a journey. And this is as opposed to somebody, for example, going to Birmingham in order to sign a piece of paper that he as a part of his job, and he's going to come back immediately after that. And if he was asked about where is he, it would be said that he's popped or he's gone to work and he's coming back, meaning it was known that he's coming back at the end of this. At the end of that job or that task that he has to fulfill. And this goes back to the custom of the people, that when a person is considered to be a traveler and what he does in order to prepare for travel and the like. And Ibn Abd al-Barr, he quotes consensus of the scholars that if a person was to travel 2,000 kilometers following an animal that he was hunting and trying to hunt that animal took him the distance of 2,000 kilometers, he wouldn't be considered a traveler, and he would have to complete 2,000 alfin mil. It's a different measure, 2,000 miles, as they used to use in those days. He would have to complete his salah. As for praying, combining the prayers and shortening, the Sheikh says the people that have traveled, there's their right to shorten their prayers if they wish and to join their prayers if they wish, but they should in that situation not remain in the place of prayer when the other people are praying their fard salawat. And if they were in the place where the people are praying the fard salawat, then they should pray with the rest. As the Prophet ﷺ once turned around after salah and saw some people that had not prayed, so he asked them, what's wrong with you that you didn't pray? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we prayed on the way as we were travelers. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them that if you come to a place and the people have already, if you come to a place and you find people praying, even if you have already prayed, then you should join in with them or pray with them. Inshallah, some of the rest of the questions will continue in the morning. بإذن الله تعالى شهر السنة البربهاري بعد صلاة الفجر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.